Hello from the BBC. I'm Pete Ross with an update on the war in Ukraine. Russian officials say Ukrainian forces have bombed a border village in the western region of Kursk, killing at least one person. The regional governor said several other civilians were injured in the shelling which hit the village of Toyotinkino. It comes amid increasing reports of Ukrainian shells landing on Russian soil. The BBC's Joe Inwood is in the Ukrainian city of Lviv.
We are now seeing the effects of this war, which of course was launched by Russia into Ukraine, coming into Russia. And you seem to get sort of surprise and even outrage from people in Russia that the war that was launched by their military into their neighbour has consequences back in Russia. But we are starting to see that.
Meanwhile, a Russian soldier has pleaded guilty to shooting dead an unarmed civilian in Ukraine's first war crimes trial since the conflict began. Sergeant Vadim Shishimarin, who's 21, is accused of murdering a 62-year-old man in the northeastern Sumy region. Prosecutors allege he opened fire on Alexander Shelikov, who was on the phone while pushing a bicycle along the road, to prevent him from reporting the presence of Russian troops. He faces life in prison. Our correspondent Sarah Rainsford was at the court in Kyiv.
Vadim Shishimarin was led into court in handcuffs by heavily armed guards, then locked inside a metal cage. The Russian tank commander is 21, though he looks far younger. And in court today, he seemed nervous, his head bowed. Sitting just metres away was the widow of the man he's accused of killing. And before long, Vadim Shishimarin admitted to her and to the court that he was guilty. "You accept that totally?" asked the judge, and he said yes. The soldier had shot Alexander Shekilov 4 times in the head. He claims he was following orders.
The effects of Russia's invasion of Ukraine have been felt far and wide. Now, the United Nations has warned it could soon cause a global food crisis that may last for years. Speaking in New York, the UN Secretary-General, Antonio Guterres, said the war had compounded food insecurity, which had already been affected by rising temperatures and the pandemic. He warned that developing countries were particularly vulnerable.
Global food prices have risen by nearly one-third, fertilizer by more than half, and oil prices by almost two-thirds. Most developing countries lack the fiscal space to cushion the blow. Many cannot borrow because markets are closed to them. Those that are able to borrow are charged with high interest rates that put them at risk of debt distress and default.
Here's the BBC's Nada Tofik.
Between them, Ukraine and Russia produce almost a third of the world's wheat and barley. Mr. Guterres has been in intense negotiations to create corridors for food to safely leave Ukraine by land or sea. The U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, blamed Russia for exacerbating a crisis already made worse by the pandemic and climate change.
On the diplomatic front, financial leaders from the G7 group of industrial countries are in Germany to try to agree an aid package for Ukraine. Christian Lindner is Germany's finance minister.
The war in Ukraine, Russia's unprovoked criminal attack on Ukraine, has, of course, resulted in additional risks for the development of the global economy. This concerns inflation, but also the failure to recover from the pandemic. We will therefore have to discuss what we can do together in each of our areas of responsibility to avoid stagflation scenarios.
The meeting will also discuss other challenges around the world, including rising inflation, climate change and warnings of an impending food crisis. Elsewhere, the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz says Ukraine's application to become a member of the European Union should not be rushed and there must be no shortcuts. President Macron of France previously cautioned that it could take decades for Ukraine to become an EU member. Last month, Mr. Scholz called for applications by 6 candidates for EU membership, Albania, Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, North Macedonia and Kosovo, to be accelerated. Mr. Scholz told the German parliament that Berlin would do everything to support Ukraine's application, but could not make an exception for Kyiv when, for years, Western Balkan states had been working towards membership.
Emmanuel Macron is right when he says the accession process is not a matter of a few months or years, and that is why we want to focus now on supporting Ukraine in a fast and pragmatic way. I will consult with my colleagues on the best way to do this. That there are no shortcuts on the way to the EU is still a requirement of fairness towards the 6 countries of the Western Balkans.
Those are the latest developments on day 85 of Russia's invasion. I'm Pete Ross at the BBC.